Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on Psalm 8. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending us your Son Jesus and giving him the name that is above every name. Lord, bless us today as we meditate on that name and on him, and as we come here to worship you. In his name we pray. Amen. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. With these words, King David begins his psalm and helps us begin our new year on a note of praise, a note of thanksgiving, a note of joy, a note of wonder. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Perhaps these weren't the first words that came to your mind when you woke up this morning. Lord, our Lord, how about another hour's sleep? Lord, our Lord, church 2 days in a row, really? Lord, our Lord, that's not how David begins his psalm, and that's not how he invites us to begin our new year. Every new year, every new month, every new day is a gift from our Heavenly Father. And so we turn to him and we say, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. In this psalm, David helps us focus on a few things that I'd like us to focus on today. The wonders of creation, the wonders and blunders of human beings, and the wonders of our God. And he concludes his psalm in the same way he begins it. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The first thing David considers is the created world, the sheer size and beauty of God's creation. And he is blown away by it, blown away at the mere thought of it. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. When David observes the world around him, what he sees is a beautiful work of art. And a work of art which reflects all the dedication and the detail and the skill of the artist who made it. The work of your fingers, he says. It's an interesting turn of phrase. We sometimes hear about the strength of God's arm or the might of God's hand. David says, no, this is the work of fingers, right? It's detailed, it's precise, it's exact, this creation God has made. The creation David sees is not primarily there for our research or our study or our debate, as we often do over the created world. He says primarily it's there for your enjoyment and your wonder and your amazement and your worship. It's there to blow us away, this creation of God. It's there to amaze us by its sheer size and beauty and detail and precision. The work of fingers, David says. Nothing in this world has been left to chance. I wonder if you recall seeing a beautiful piece of artwork that just really struck you and captivated you, and you just wanted to sit there and stare at it for a few moments. Maybe you were with a tour group, the rest of the group moved on, and you stayed still because you just wanted to look at this piece of art, think about it for a little while, and consider what went into it and why it is the way that it is. That's what David's doing today with the created world. Now, if you've ever seen a piece of artwork like that that's really taken your breath away, that's really interested you, you didn't think for a moment that it came about by chance, did you? By accident, that it was just a random series of events that led to that artwork being there. No, you looked at the artwork and you thought, that speaks to me about the skill of the artist, right? The art declares the glory of the artist. The art reflects the power and precision of the one who created it. That's what David sees when he looks at the created world. And it makes him say, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. David mentions the moon, the stars that God has set in place. With the best human telescopes, astronomers predict there are around a septillion stars in the universe. That's 1 to the power of 24. How's your maths? Mine's not great. 1 with 24 zeros. That's how many stars they predict are out there. About 400 billion in our galaxy, about 160 billion galaxies. That's a lot of stars, don't you think? That's a lot of stars. And David says today, every last one of them points us to God. Every last one of them speaks to us about God's creative power, his might, and his delicate precision as well in setting them in place. The old hymn writer Joseph Addison writes, "In reason's ear they all rejoice and utter forth a glorious voice, forever singing as they shine, the hand that made us is divine." You see, each of those septillion stars or whatever it is that are out there, they speak to us. They speak to us about the glory and the brightness of the God who created them. Now, when David looks up, and we can imagine him maybe on a starry night in the Mediterranean going for a walk or something, looking up, when he sees just a few of these stars, it makes him feel very small, very insignificant. What's my place in all this, he thinks, in this great big universe? What is my place in all this? What is the place of human beings? And he says, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet." So which is it, David? He seems to be having a foot in both camps here. Which one is it? Are human beings small and insignificant? Why would you be mindful of us? Or are human beings great and glorious and just a little lower than the angels? Which one is it? And he seems to be saying, yes, both times, yes, that is who we are. On one hand, we're very small in the big picture of the created world. We're very little, seemingly insignificant, and yet, of course, batting above our average when it comes to the way we misuse the created world God's given us. You know, Romans 8 says the whole of creation groans under the weight of human beings, groans under the weight of our sin, our greed. One of the other great human blunders, I think, when it comes to the created world is our sense of entitlement, as though God owes us this world, and this world then owes us the best it has. There's a quote that I like by G.K. Chesterton. And he says, "It's a strange and staggering way to think, as though this were all ours by right." This is the quote. "That in some extraordinary fashion, we think we can demand the pick of all the dandelions in the garden of paradise. That we owe no thanks for them at all, and need feel no wonder at them at all, and above all, no wonder at being thought worthy to receive them all." So on one hand, he says, we are small, and yet we still cause big problems in the world and big problems in our own lives. And we think we're entitled to things, and that causes problems, and we're greedy with things, and that causes problems, and we can be very damaging as human beings. That's one side. But then the other side, which is alluded to in the psalm, or more than alluded to, and Chesterton in this comment alludes to it, the wonder of being thought worthy. The wonder that God thinks we are worthy of all this, worthy of this world, that he made us a little lower than the angels, and that David says he is mindful of us, right? He keeps us in mind. He had us in mind when he made all this. He created it for us, for our enjoyment. That means God cares about human beings. Forget about the 160 billion galaxies for a moment. God wants to know what's happening in your galaxy, right? What's going on in your world? What are your concerns, your hopes, your dreams at the start of this new year? What's on your mind? God's interested because God is mindful of the people he has created. God even wants to know your sins. That's why we come at the start of a service, the start of a new year, and we confess to him. God, these are my blunders. Right? And maybe you had quite a few of them in 2017. I'm not sure. But you come to God and say, you're mindful of me. This is part of me. This is who I am. And we are reminded then in our absolution that God's mercies are new every morning, new every day. With every new day, every new month, every new year, God says, yes, I know, and I forgive you. Let's go again. God is mindful of us, not just of us as individuals, but of every individual, no matter how big or small, how old or young they may be. David says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold. Children, infants, anyone considered small in the eyes of the world, David says they are not small in the eyes of God. God has poured his purpose into each and every corner of creation, into each and every human life and human being. No human life is an accident in God's eyes. You know, we sometimes talk about people as accidents. Perhaps you'd even, been told at some point in your life by your parents or your older sibling, they're always good for that kind of thing, that you're an accident. There's no such thing in God's eyes. No human life is an accident in God's eyes. Now, it may come into the world in the midst of sin and brokenness and pretty harsh circumstances, but no human life is an accident to God. No human life is without purpose to God. God says he is mindful of us. He has us in mind. He creates us. He sustains us. At each birth, we are given a name. And the Bible says God knows us by name. And God calls us by name. And so David responds, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The name of God is the reputation of God, it's the character of God, it's the person of God, it's the being of God. So when we worship God's name, we're really worshiping God, right? His name is who he is. It's his being. And so majestic is the nature of God that it wasn't simply enough for him to give us a glimpse of his glory in creation, because that's what we see in the moon and the stars. Even the, septillion stars, all we get is a glimpse of God's glory out there in the world. Or in the beautiful sunset, or the long stretch of beach, whatever it is, wherever you see a glimpse of God's glory, the morning mist or the rolling thunder or whatever you like, right? That's a glimpse of God you get, a glimpse of him there, but it leaves too many questions about who this God is and what he's about. We experience God in creation, but we only get to know God in person as he reveals himself first through his word and second through his word made flesh, through his son. We sang it moments ago, Jesus, what a beautiful name. What a beautiful name. The name means he saves. He saves us. He saves his creation from its bondage. And in him we see and experience the true wonder of our God. We read in Philippians that one day at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So why wait? Why would we wait until then to live out our purpose here on earth? To confess the name of Jesus and to worship him? So mindful is God of human beings, so mindful is God of you, that he knows you need more than just a general vague sense of him out there in the created world. And so he sends you himself. He sends you his son. The writer of Hebrews sees all this already anticipated back there in Psalm 8, years and years before Jesus was born. He says, although we do not see all of creation yet subject to us, we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels and who is now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. You see what he's saying there? So mindful is God of his creation, so mindful is God of his created people, human beings, that he chooses to enter our world in the person of Jesus, born in Bethlehem, born in creation, born under the stars, growing up, maturing like any other person, living and breathing, experiencing joy and sorrow, knowing his people personally in order to redeem them irreversibly. That's the role of Jesus. Psalm 8 alludes to it. All of Scripture points us to this fact. For David and for us, there is nothing left to do at the knowledge of this but to praise the one who created us. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your created world, and perhaps we don't stop often enough to thank you for it, for this place you have given us to live in, for its sheer size and magnificence, for its beauty, for its detail and precision, and the work you put into it on our account. Lord, we thank you that you have created each of our individual lives, that you have given us the gift of life, the gift of this new year, the gift of our name, which you know and which you call us by. We thank you most of all for the gift of your Son who came, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those of us under the law. Father, this year, 2018, return our thoughts again to him. Make this year one of praise and joy and worship. In your name we pray.